Isaiah 20, verse 1. In the year that Tartan came to Ashdod, when Sargon, king of Assyria, sent him, and he fought against Ashdod and took it. Well, Ashdod was just east of Judah, along there on the coast, and the king of Assyria attacked it on his way down to attack Egypt. So the prophecy is given when the power of Egypt is about to fall to the Assyrians. But Judah had been trusting in Egypt rather than trusting in God for help against these Assyrians. So Isaiah has to tell them by God's word that they are not to trust in the Egyptians, because they will be ashamed if they do so, and they'll go into captivity, and the Egyptians also are going to go into captivity. And so, verse 2, at that time Yahweh spoke by Isaiah, saying, now we expect now, thus says the Lord, but we don't get it. Yahweh spoke by Isaiah, saying, go and loosen the sackcloth from off your waist and take your shoes from off your feet. He did so, walking naked and barefoot. And this was to be a sign that as he had walked naked and barefoot, so this was what was going to happen to those who trusted in Egypt. But my point is that Yahweh spoke by Isaiah, saying, go and take your shoes from off your feet and, you know, walk around in a rather confounded and ashamed kind of way. So God spoke to his people through the example of Isaiah rather than through any specific words. Now, that of course is so relevant to us because we are to be as the Lord was, the Word made flesh. People don't read the Bible, and so they don't hear the word of God until they meet you and me. Now, we may not specifically sit down and start reading the Bible to them, but we are his word to them. It's rather like the resurrection of Jesus. He is witnessed to by his body, and his risen body is us. He has no other hands or face or feet in this world apart from you and me, and people do not know him until they meet you and me. And so through us, people can meet Jesus and can hear God's word, just as it was in the time of Isaiah, that God spoke through Isaiah. Not in this case in that he actually said anything, but through his example. And this, of course, is not the only example that you have. Ezekiel wasn't allowed to mourn for his wife. Hosea had to marry a prostitute, reflecting God's love for Israel. And perhaps Isaiah walking, as it's put later on, naked and barefoot, was perhaps also the punishment for the prostitute, to make them think about that. And we're reminded of how God spoke to us in his Son. You remember how Hebrews begins in the New Testament, that God spoke in different ways by the prophets, but now he has spoken to us in his Son. This is the huge significance of the gospel records, that by reading and rereading them, we have a sense of Jesus as a personality, and he was that word of God made flesh. So then, these prophets then were mocked most of the time, certainly Isaiah was. Just as God's Son was mocked, he was the song of the drunkards, it says in Psalm 69:12. So what it shows then is that people just didn't want to get the message. Of course, the message was not, of course, acceptable to them. It is that all trust in human strength is shameful, and it is trust in human strength that is seen in secular terms as the smart thing to do. People will congratulate you for doing it. I'm sure all the apparently wise and smart and clever people thought that, yep, we're being attacked and threatened by Egypt, by Assyria, so let's trust in Egypt. And, well, the message was, if you trust in Egypt, this is what's going to happen to you, and it will happen also to Egypt. Now, just one final point on verse 6. The inhabitants of this coastland will say in that day, behold, this is our expectation, where we fled for help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and we, how will we escape? So This is a picture of these people who had not accepted the word of God, who thereby were responsible to judgment. They'd seen Isaiah's message from God, acted out, admittedly in parable rather than through a thus says the Lord on a piece of paper. And they were to be terribly disappointed and to be left desperately saying, how shall we escape? Now, this desire to escape but having no place to run is, I think, a feature of divine condemnation, how people feel when they are condemned. And this little phrase, when they say, how shall we escape? This is quoted, Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect that great salvation that is in Jesus? But here the message was, how shall we escape unless we throw ourselves completely upon God in trust and not trust to our own strength? And so that's what it is, that to trust in Jesus is to really accept, I cannot save myself. There is no medicine I can take to make me keep on living. There is nothing smart I can do to somehow get out of the aging process, to escape my mortality. There is no dumb philosophy that I can believe that will suddenly become true to make me live forever. I am mortal. And it's that hard message of the absolute mortality of man, that there is no immortal soul, there is no conscious survival of death. It's that which throws us really totally upon God's salvation, which is in Jesus. And yet people don't want that. They will desperately cling on to all kinds of crazy theories and vague hopes rather than make that move. So the message is not to trust in flesh, not to think that we can be our own saviour or that other people can be our saviour, but to accept the message that Isaiah was preaching for 3 years, that if you do, you shall walk naked and ashamed. And that again is picked up in Revelation 16, that the rejected shall walk naked and their shame will be evident to all men.